99. Are you in the clear?
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear, happened. This is the standing order to Sergeant Meredith, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Meredith does. Now, to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Hi, Dan. Where to tonight?
Oh, upstairs, the sheriff's office. Remember the silk stocking bandits?
Oh, yeah, 16th and L, 8th and E, 28th and X. They wore stockings for masks and put everybody in the powder room. Yeah, I remember.
Well, we've got them, I think. Let's go find out.
Is there anything you'd like to say about your part in these stick-ups?
Well, let's start from the King of Clubs now. We
entered the King of Clubs about 1 o'clock in the morning and cut the place up. This Tufts, the guy that owned the bar, was behind the bar. We ordered the people out behind the bar, the customers in the back restroom. I went behind the bar, opened the cash register, and took what money was in the cash register.
How much did you get out of the cash register?
I don't exactly know.
How much did you get on the job?
Well, approximately $180 to $185.
Now, you said we entered the bar. Would you tell us how many of you were involved in this?
2.
Just 2 men. You, yourself, and another party.
Myself and another party.
Would you care to name this other party?
I wouldn't.
What transpired after you stuck up the bartender and the patrons, placed the patrons in the back room?
Well, I went behind the bar and opened up the cash register and opened up the drawers in the back bar and see if there was any money in the back bar. I looked underneath the one compartment and where the whiskey was at, and there was no money there. And I picked up the nickels in this tray you just mentioned, put them in my pocket. On the way out, I picked up both ladies' purses, and we went to the front door and then left. Went out to find the car and back to our apartment.
What did you do with those women's purses? Did you throw them away on the way away from the King of Clubs?
That's a sore spot. I wished I had them.
You wish you had them?
Why?
Well, I took and kept the purses because of the intention to return them to them so that people wouldn't lose their identification and everything, and that's why I'm here.
That was your intention, though, to return the purses of all those papers and cards found at your place?
Yes, sir.
Had you so-called cased that place before you went in them?
No, you went in cold.
Did you know that there was a restroom window there?
No, if I had cased the place, I would have knew that, and I wouldn't have put them in that restroom.
Why did you bring that point up, Rellis?
Well, we had a witness that observed the suspects leave the scene and observed the car and the make of car and license number of the car, which tied in, with the apprehension of the suspects. Have you ever done time before?
Yes.
How many times?
3.
And in those 3 times, what would you say the total damage you've done would be? What amount to?
About 8 years.
About 8 years.
And how old are you now?
28.
28 years old.
Well, there's.
Now you did time on what charges? What were the charges before?
Grand theft, burglary, auto theft, a strong armed person in Los Angeles.
Where have you done most of your time?
California.
And what?
Where was this? Pardon me.
California.
What institution?
Well, most of it was in San Quentin. I was in Folsom for a very short period of time. Part of it was in Los Angeles County.
Well, isn't it true that you became acquainted with another suspect in this case at San Quentin?
That's right.
You get pretty friendly with him?
Too friendly.
Was there anything ever mentioned while you were in there about stick-ups and how easy they were done?
Between this party and me, no. I mean, we were what you call more or less business associates in San Quentin. I mean, we gambled together and stuff like that.
You haven't talked about sticking up places at all? When did you get together and talk this thing over?
Well, I met him right after he first came out. And we became friends, or when I was downtown, I'd stop and have a beer with him, or I'd see him in a bar, we'd have a beer together. And on the night in question, well, I took him to, was short of money, and I was broke, and owed some money, and one of us mentioned the stick-up, and we both, I guess, was in the same mood, so we went out and pulled a Colt.
Which one of the two of you out on that King of Clubs had the patch over the nose?
I think it was me.
Well, why did you do that?
Well, I got a pretty good size nose.
Oh, was that to more or less camouflage the appearance of your nose, the shape of your nose?
You didn't think the silk stockings would completely hide you?
Well, I knew the silk stockings would do a good job of it, but I mean, I figured that the band-aid across my nose would help.
Which one of you held the gun in this caper?
My associate.
You did not?
No, sir.
Wasn't there someone in the bar that caused you some difficulty?
Well, there's this one fellow in the bar. I was sitting about halfway back to the bar. That was a pretty good-sized boy. I don't know, maybe 6'2", 6'3", and a couple hundred pounds. It was pretty well washed up, drunk. And we first ordered him off the stools and away from the bar. He got off the stool and stepped back from the bar. And we ordered him to the restrooms, and he took three or four steps and stopped. And asked us what it was all about. And we told him not to give us no lip to get on in the back room.
And what happened about that time when he started giving you a little lip?
We stood there for a minute and gave us a slip, and I took a step forward and told him to go in the back room before I got hurt. And he just looked at me for a minute and he went on in the back room.
Did you pull a gun on him or what?
No, I stuck my hand in my pocket and simulated having a gun in my pocket.
Were you nervous at any time during this stick-up?
No, I wouldn't say I was nervous.
Getting back to those purses and the property that you say you intended to return to the people, what happened to that after you got into your car?
We left everything into the purses till we got back to the apartment. And once we got back to the apartment, we dumped all the purses and removed everything and went through their wallets and everything in the purses might have any money in it. And then after that, we put all the clothes and the purses and the papers and the wallet and everything into a green box. Put a padlock on the box, and at that time I took it to my home or my apartment.
Was that the green box that was found that more or less tied you in with this?
Yes, it was.
After freely confessing a series of armed robberies, this man was sentenced to a term in the state penitentiary, which he is now serving. He refused to identify his confederate, but in a short time, you will hear the interrogation of his suspected accomplice. In the meantime, here is Sergeant Bruce Guthrie in Unit 99.
Unit 99.
99, go ahead.
Unit 99, 940. Unit 9, south of the ice house at the Western Pacific Yard.
940, Unit 9. Roger.
KMA 907.
I've been expecting this call. I told Unit 9, when they make their routine check of the railroad tracks in the rear of the ice house, to give 99 a call. We've been having considerable trouble with railroad bums and tranchants camping along here, causing trouble in the neighborhood by mooching and a lot of petty thievery. So we'll check this out with Unit 9. Hello, Kenny. Morris, what have you got?
Hi, Sergeant. You asked us to call us, or to call you when we made a routine check along the tracks for transients. Well, we've found some. Going down to shake them down now.
What's the reason for making this check? Do you have some particular reason for doing it?
Well, it is a routine check, as I said, and a lot of these men are on the lam, you might say, on the road. They're skipping out. We give them a check. And another thing, it's a neighborhood problem in this area.
In other words, you've had a lot of complaints about these tranchants smooching and so forth in the area?
That's correct. They knock at doors and bother the citizens. There have been complaints.
Okay, we'll check down along the tracks here. At the present time, we're down behind the ice house along the railroad tracks. We've had considerable trouble in this particular area because there's a lot of material piled around. Looks like they have quite a jungle camp here, don't they? A little food, the remains of a fire.
A while back here last year, we turned up one fellow here with a gun on him. Remember that particular case?
Yes, I do remember that.
Here's a couple right here, Sergeant. They've made themselves a shack out of this tin corrugated. cover themselves with cardboard. Stand up, will you, fellas? Step out here. That's it. Keep your hands away.
Want to step out here a little bit?
Yes.
Want to shake this guy first, Jack?
So at the present time, the officers have these two men separated. One of them standing by to observe. The other officer is shaking the man down. The peculiar thing about these people, particularly the railroad trenchants, they come along to a place like this and find that they're not disturbed, and they build a regular camp. For instance, this, they have a shelter built out of tin, bed made out of cardboard, they have their wine bottles, of course, table made out of old boxes, fireplace, all the comforts of home.
See some bananas ripening over there, Bruce.
Yeah, there, local bread stuck in your pocket.
Yes, it's quite a local
bread. How long have you been carrying that?
This evening.
I wouldn't even feed that to my chickens. Pretty good looking hat. Where'd you pick that up at?
Mister, I work all the time whenever this works. I bought it at Stockton, sir.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a farm laborer, sir.
What kind of a record you got?
My record's good, sir. Had any trouble here.
Never been arrested for anything?
Oh, I've been arrested times, yes, sir.
For what?
Well, for junk, you know, like that.
How about vagrancy?
Vagrancy once, sir.
You on a floater now?
No, sir.
When's the last time you were arrested?
Oh, it's been about 6 months, sir.
What for then?
In Fresno. I was just drunk one night, you know, and was picked up and turned out the next day.
When's the last time you arrested for vagrancy?
Oh, it's been a long time, sir.
How about big time?
I've done some big times.
What for?
Well, it was car theft.
When was that?
That's been 1952.
Uh-huh. How much time did you get out of that?
I got 15 months in and 15 out.
15 in, 15 out?
Yes, sir. That is, you know, the parole. I'm through with the parole, sir.
You're through with your parole now?
Yes, sir.
When did you finish your parole?
In March. March the 5th. I was four.
Where'd you do your big time?
At Chino.
How about this other fellow, Kenny?
How about you?
Well, I'm just going down here to get a job.
You a farm laborer, too?
Yes, sir.
Let me take a look at your hands, will you?
Been washing
dishes. Haven't had very many knives nose hand lately, have you?
No, sir. I've been washing dishes, though.
Oh, I see. Where have you been washing dishes in Sacramento?
Oh, yes, sir.
This seems to be a pretty clean-cut looking guy here, Bruce, don't you think?
Yeah, how about his record, Kenny?
How about it?
No, sir, I don't have no record.
Never fell, huh?
No, sir.
We can find out, you know.
Yeah, I know you can.
When'd you get out of jail?
I haven't been in jail.
You've never been arrested?
No, sir.
Ever been fingerprinted?
Yeah, I was fingerprinted.
What for?
In the Army.
In the Army?
Yes,
that's
sir.
The only time?
Yes, sir.
You haven't been in jail at all?
No, sir.
It's a little bit unusual. I think you better check this man out.
You can't sleep along the tracks very long and not get arrested, Bruce. We know that. How about it? You going to dummy up?
Sir, no, sir. I'm not dumbing up. I got better sense than that.
No time at all?
No, sir.
How old a man are you?
42 years old.
How long have you been hitting the road?
Well, I've just been hitting I've been on the road several times going from job to job. This is about the first time I've ever been on a tramp, though.
You never got busted?
No, sir.
That's really a remarkable record, don't you see, Sergeant?
I would say it's extremely remarkable. I bet when you take him in, you'll find that he does have a record of some type. What are you going to do now, Officer Kenny?
I think we'll check this fellow's record and find if he's been not telling the truth about his record. He's obviously a man with no means of support and the type that is hitting this neighborhood pretty regular for handouts.
The usual procedure in these cases now is to take them in and bag them.
That's correct.
And have them checked out through the CINI and our local BFI, isn't that right?
That's correct. We'll get a thorough check.
Okay. Have you checked the rest of this area, Morris?
Oh, we looked the area over thorough, and these are the only two we could locate around here. It's unusual. Usually there's quite a few more tonight. It seemed we hit a bad night picking them up.
Yeah, once these guys get out here, they feel it's their home. They really take advantage of it. Okay, thanks, fellas.
The first of these men was sentenced to 30 days in jail for vagrancy. The second, who claimed never to have been arrested, had a rap sheet or record 5 pages long. He was a 3-time loser in Texas. He had fallen in Washington, D.C., Kansas, and Kentucky for burglary, grand theft, auto theft, concealed weapons, and narcotics, peddler and user. He was wanted by Sacramento County for escape and by our department for petty theft. He was sentenced to 30 days for the theft and given an additional 30 days for vagrancy.
Unit
99. 99, go ahead.
Unit 99. 924, Detective Division.
924, coming in.
Check 99, KMA 907.
That's our other silk stocking.
We have just returned from the Sacramento County Jail, talking to your partner, the other suspect in this and these silk stocking stickups here in Sacramento, and we'd like to ask you some questions and get your side of the story. You want to tell us anything you know about it?
Well, you go ahead and ask your question.
I mean, where did you come from when you came to Sacramento?
In San Quentin.
How long have you been in San Quentin?
5 years.
What did you do your rap for?
Robbery.
Where?
San Francisco.
You fell out of San Francisco in a robbery? What kind of a robbery was that?
Armed robbery.
Did 5 years.
That's right.
And you've been in Sacramento ever since being released from... Are you on parole now?
Yes, I am.
How much time do you have on your parole?
4 years and 9 months.
11-year parole officer is who?
Nice woman.
What type of place was that you fell for in San Francisco?
Tavern stick-up.
Do you know anything about that stick-up we had at King Clubs?
Not a thing.
You weren't connected with it?
That's right.
You deny being a part of that, stick-up?
That's correct.
Would we were to tell you that your partner has already told us that you were in on that?
Well, that's his business, what he tells you.
Do you deny that?
That's right.
Why do you deny it?
Because I wasn't in on it.
No, in our investigation, we turned up a green wooden box out in the vicinity of 32nd Street. And in this box was a number of items that were apparently used on these various stick-ups. There was a couple of silk stockings, black overcoat, which described one stick-up. It was a 380 automatic. Identification paper from number of patrons in that bar. Do you know anything about that box that turned up?
No, I think.
You have any idea at all about it?
No.
We have the story of one of the men that was arrested at the same time you were, that he overheard a conversation between you and a man that he said you requested to go make a phone call about that box. And he tells us that you mentioned the box and what was in it, the gun, the silk stockings, the black overcoat, and that my fingerprints would be all over the contents of that box. Do you deny making that, talking about that box in front of this other?
I have nothing more to say about the green box.
Well, how about the guns in this, these stick-ups? Do you possess a gun?
No.
Have you ever owned a gun?
No.
Have you ever touched a gun?
No.
Did you use your gun? Were you handling the gun in the stick-up in San Francisco at the time?
No.
Did you have any gun at all?
No.
Now, I just wanted to bring up something else that might surprise you, that we've got fingerprints off of that gun, and the fingerprints belong to you. Do you know that?
No.
Two good prints.
Well, I still deny having touched a gun.
Well, here's another thing that transpired today. We took material over to our Criminal Identification Bureau, took samples from the coats, remnants that were hanging on the coat and so forth, compared them, and a comparison from the technician of the bureau says it's pretty good. It points right back at you again.
Well, in my estimation, that's a physical impossibility.
Well, you made the statement that that would be a physical impossibility, that your hair could be identified with hairs found in those silk stockings. Would you care to explain that, how that could be a physical impossibility?
Certainly. I never had my head in the silk stocking.
You recall the night you were arrested, the evening you were arrested there, there was quite a quantity of rugs and brass plaques that hang on the wall and some radios and so forth there in your apartment.
Where did that stuff come from?
Imagine it was stolen. I told you right from the start that I was in possession of stolen property. I've never denied that.
Now, getting back to those fingerprints, I mentioned, I don't know whether I did or not, but I mentioned two fingerprints being on the gun. And this gun was locked at all times. This gun was locked in, locked at all times in this box that was found out in the rear of this residence. Do you deny ever having possession of that gun or using the gun in any stick-ups?
I still deny it.
Have you ever handled that gun?
I have no further remarks on the gun.
How do you think you stand against our evidence that we have?
I've got my side of the story. It'll just have to come out in court.
Also, this other suspect that we questioned, he says the person that's been borrowing my car is the one that's been pulling his other stick-ups. He says, I'm not going to say who he is or what he is, but the person that's been borrowing my car is the one that's involved in other stick-ups.
Maybe more than one person has been borrowing his car?
To our knowledge, during the questioning, he never mentioned any more than one person. He mentioned one person borrowing his car.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to all this evidence that we have that points toward you and the statements of these other men that are arrested, do you care to make any statement in defense of yourself or how to clear yourself or deny this evidence that we have that points to you?
The only thing I have to say will be said in court.
Of course, you understand now that if you should not be guilty of this, we'd like to know about it. We would work just as hard to clear you as we would to try to convict you, if you can give us any facts to go on. But you haven't done that. You haven't given us any names that we could check for alibis. There's nothing you have said that would help clear you. And doesn't that look strange to you?
Well, I'll tell you, I have my own defense, and when it comes time, I'll bring it forward. I just don't want the police interfering in it before it's ready, that's all.
Will you bring out other facts in court?
Certainly.
Facts that would tend to clear you of any of these stick-ups.
If I didn't think I had a chance in court, gentlemen, I'd give you my confession right now.
This man, who staunchly denied any part in the armed robbery, pled not guilty and took his case into Superior Court. There he was convicted, and he is now serving time in a state penitentiary. So much for the Silk Stocking Bandits. They made a lot of trouble for the police, but any officer will tell you, sooner or later, they all fall.
This is Unit 99. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James B. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908 coming in. End of tour.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.